Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, let's be real about something. As we get older, get kids, pets, multiple jobs, it becomes harder and harder to find the right time to connect to your partner. But when you do get that sliver of a moment, you need to be ready. That's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it works. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, best of all, no more awkwardness. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use our special promo code ARMCHAIR. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code ARMCHAIR to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. You are listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. For more on your Pelicans, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today.
What's going on, Pelicans fans? Chris Conner here with the Bird Rights team. I know you're listening and probably thinking, what the hell is Preston Ellis? But don't worry. He's still going to be your fantastic host for your weekly Pelicans Talk along with Kevin, David, and our wonderful editor-in-chief, Ali Cosell. So no need to panic. Today, however, is just a small feature where we grabbed a solo guest to debate, yell a little bit, and have a good time, or the best time we can, talking Pelicans basketball. Because I'm sure as you all know, there hasn't been much to smile about the past month or so. But now if you're on Pelicans Twitter, you've probably ran into our guests more than a few times. Maybe you've had a positive interaction. Maybe you've had a negative interaction. More than likely, you've had a negative interaction. But especially if you name the names J.J. Redick, Drew Holiday, or Brandon Ingram, on the line we have Twitter antagonist and hot take specialist Jason Maples on both the Lakers and the Pelicans side. But outside of that, on a serious note, Jason has a wonderful basketball background. He's an assistant coach at Contra Costa College in California. And he's also the head coach leading, I'm sure, a wonderful group of young men being a part of an AAU program. Jason, what's going on, bro?
What's good, man? Happy to connect.
All right, for sure, man. So be sure to follow Jason on Twitter at JJMaples55_MST. While you're at it, follow the squad at The Bird Rights, and as well, follow myself at Impatient Bull. Now, Jason, we have a bunch to talk about here. I think these Uber conferences give us about 45 minutes, and that's more than enough for us to get into what we need to here. But starting off, okay, we're going to leave the spicy to the side a little bit here. We're going to start off a little soft here, all right? Try to care about people's emotions for a little bit here, starting off here. Pelicans are off to a 1-7 start after, I'd say, a mixed bag of expectations. Most were high. What do you think has been the biggest reason outside of injury for their rough start?
Like, literally before you called me, I was reading online. I think it was like Will Guillory posted something, and they're like 29th or 30th in every defensive category, like fast break points, 3-pointers given up, like offensive rebounding given up, second chance points given up, but just fast break, just everything. They're last in everything, 29th or 30th in every defensive category. That's the main issue.
100%, man. When you watch them play, you see guys just, you know, kind of winging it for the most part. The communication is lacking. Some of the most important aspects that I don't think that the most casual fan will pay attention to, it lacks in reference to boxing out consistently. You know, their ability to switch. You know, when teams make certain motions, they break down. It's just how it works. you know, a pick and roll happens.
And then,
No, go ahead.
I'm gonna say a lot of it is they don't have the personnel to do a lot of what they're doing. Like Okafor, he's a good reclamation project, but when they put him in pick and roll and have him switching against these guards, it looks really bad. Like you can't switch with a center like Okafor. It's not in his DNA to handle something like that. So I'm watching yesterday, they ran a bunch of pick and roll with Fred VanVleet and Marc Gasol, and you got Okafor switching on VanVleet. And it's a dead possession after that. It's a blow by or put somebody in out of position for a wide open three when he gets beat. So they don't have the personnel to try to do a lot of things they do anyway.
100%. And that's why, you know, a guy like Jackson Hayes is, you know, his development is so important. I think they were forced to have to play him earlier than they wanted to. And of course, when Zion gets back, and I know that they experimented a lot in the preseason and talked about him playing the five, I can anticipate if they're going to continue this style of defense when it comes to switching, when Zion's upright, you're going to see even more of him at the five. We'll see. I mean, he definitely is not going to be a savior. He can't fix this defense all by himself because he himself was not playing the best of defense in the preseason. But, you know, we'll see what they have to play with. In the midst of all that, the Pelicans have welcomed in Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, all guys that have a wonderful following from the Lakers. It's really weird, man, seeing so many people that are still Laker fans, but really, really, really love these kids, man, to where they're almost as much of a Pelicans fan as they are a Lakers fan. I've never seen anything like it.
Well,
maybe that's because
–
go ahead.
Well, the thing is, like, sorry, I need to cut you off. I mean, the thing is, like, the whole 2 or 3 years those guys are with the Lakers, everybody heard, you know, how garbage they were, how trash they are, how, you know, they're overrated by the fan base. And then even through the trade talks, you know, I'm not pointing no names. I don't know who it was from over on the Pelican side, but they calling the Lakers offer dumpster fire and like all the Knicks is better and Jason Tatum is better than Brandon Ingram. And it's not even close. And then yeah, I'm just saying that's literal really what came over from the Pelican side. And then when they come over, you know, it looks like, well, you know, we probably get into this later, but it looks like the best player on the team came from the Lakers, mm-hmm. And the most productive guys thus far have been in that Laker trade. You know, the vets aren't really working out thus far. The Carol Alexander Walker's up and down. So, like, with all you guys got from the Lakers, that's the best addition of the offseason thus far. So that's why the Laker Twitter is all coming for your neck right now.
I can see that, man. I mean, it's crazy, man. Like, you can't. Well, I haven't gotten a lot of it because, you know, I don't think I was as mean at the time. I was more open to whatever was going to be received out of the package. But my thought was, you know, you had already went through, you know, I mean, I've been following this team since they walked into New Orleans in, you know, 2002, 2001. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I've seen B. Diddy walk his way out of here. I've seen Chris Paul walk out, and now, you know, losing AD at the time, man, with a city that was pretty much it was football centric for the most part. Now, I wasn't really sure that, or I didn't know at the time that the owner Gail Benson would shift things as she did. A lot of things had changed, man, from that time where we were, and because I mean I know I made jokes as well, but I guess everyone's thought without knowing exactly how certain things would change. No one knew about Zion. No one knew that they would be able to attract veterans. No one knew what David Griffin would bring and how Gail Benson would kind of change the organization, the training staff. We didn't see all that, man. So at the time, and I'm only speaking for myself, but at the time, all you're looking at is Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart. I love Josh Hart. I loved Brandon Ingram, but I can speak for a lot of people saying, you know, didn't know exactly how this whole blood clot condition would work. And, you know, we still had things that everyone needed to see from his game, whether it was the way he was used in LA, whether it was youth, the people around him, especially that last year, it was some bad fits there. And you got Lonzo.
Okay. Well,
go ahead.
My thing was, I was like, as far as Brandon Ingram, like you saw a lot of people, you know, who aren't hardcore Laker fans stopped watching after LeBron went down and didn't watch when he went down and we get hurt. But Brandon Ingram, he's playing how he did when LeBron got hurt last year. he's like maybe he's shooting threes a little more, but the aggression and just that, you know, going to get it. He was that same guy when LeBron got hurt. And even when he came back, he was still averaging around 28 a game, like that little 8-game stretch before, you know, they found that the blood clot. So I'm really not surprised. And you got to think about it. He sat out the whole offseason. He only got to work out 1 month before the season started. Remember, he couldn't pick up a basketball.
Yeah.
So how much better did he really get overall? Yeah. And in 1 month, how much better could he really get? So that's why you can check my tweets on this. Go ahead. You go all the way back, bro. all the way back. I've shown everybody all offseason, this is coming. Like,
I mean, 100%. I mean, even in October, you know, before the season started, I mean, you had put Brandon Ingram as your most improved player. I saw you fighting with people that were trying to tell you J.J. Redick was a better basketball player.
Come on, bro. That's the type of argument y'all was having. Come on, man. Are you serious? No disrespect to J.J. Redick, but come on, man. We got to be realistic with. That's what I'm talking. Like, no disrespect. I understand analytics and math has a place in basketball, but you can't be serious, man. J.J. Redick is literally one thing on a basketball court better than Brandon Ingram, and you can't make that statement. It's ridiculous, man. Watch the game. Come on, man. We gotta get less spreadsheets, more eye tests, man. Come on.
So, but I guess my point was that, you know, and I can admit, while I watch Laker games, it's a difference between, like, the detail that I'm giving to Laker games beforehand. It's just simply not the same detail I'm giving to Pelicans games. You know, I mean, at this time,
absolutely.
You know,
I feel that. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So, you would see a different perspective than, say, you know, than I would. So between me looking at numbers and advanced numbers and watching BI every now and then, looking at highlights, I knew there was something there, and I figured opportunity would bring out a different guy. For example, there's certain things that you realize, like a lot of people were curious about how his 3-point shooting would improve. He won't stay at a 40 or 50% clip, but, you know, you can see the improvement. He's showing that he's going to be more than formidable, and now teams have to go over. They can no longer go under on screens. I mean, it's opened up so much in his game. And it's fun to watch. Now, Lonzo was a wild card because he'd been injured in his first 2 years. Okay. And on top of that, you got his father coming out, man, saying all type of crazy shit, talking about, you know, that, you know, talking about his son won't play in New Orleans. You know, I mean, like, we just, in my mind, you're getting rid of a distraction already. The last thing you need is another sideshow for somebody that's supposed to upstart a whole new regime going forward. And again, this is before Zion. This is before David Griffin. That's the lens that I think. I don't know if all Lakers supporters can see what we were looking through. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, y'all gonna be all right. LeBron, AD, I didn't know how it was gonna fit, but so far so good, right? 7-1. So, you know, I just want to kind of, you know, put that out there for, you know, for some people to see. It's not as much hating on, you know, the Lakers package as much as, you know, there's a bunch of different other things to go around it.
I've been saying the statements I read, like, I saw the dumpster fire gym, you know.
They were mean.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't like, and like you said, some of that could be excused. Because, like you said, you guys are looking at Laker games differently than Laker fans, you know, and you're always going to be, the human nature is to be skeptical about you losing a star of Anthony Davis's nature, so you're going to be skeptical anyway. You know, nothing's going to completely add up to him, if we're being honest, you know. And then, on top of everything, like you said, the GM and the owner, you don't know your situation, so I get it. But you got to understand, Lakers have the biggest fan base in the NBA, so they gonna come for you regardless.
I mean, I see your annoyance with them on the daily.
Oh, you know, absolutely, and it's like I said, man. I think it's good for me because, you know, I've been coaching for 10 years, so I look at basketball like I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the game first, and then secondary is like, okay, my allegiances. So when I say things like, you know, maybe I feel like Kawhi is the best player in the league right now. Where I show other players or other teams, like, oh, I like the way you do this. Oh, you a fake fan. Oh, I'm like, dude, why y'all trying to turn NBA Twitter into Bloods and Crips? You know what I'm saying? The Dungeons and Dragons, you got to pick a side. Like, what are you talking about? You're talking about basketball here. Relax, man. We don't get no money when the Lakers win. We don't get no money.
Well, I think when you integrate any type of objection, you know, or you know, when you come out with, man, for whatever reason, especially online, there's this thought to where if you follow said team, if you're a fan of said team, you can't have negative thoughts or you can't say anything outside of positive things. That's just not, you know, it's not fair and it's not human.
First of all, fan is short for fanatic. Okay, yeah. So that's where that comes from. But I don't, like I said, man, my block mute button going up this year, and I'm not even dealing with it this year. Like, last year was a mess. Like, no disrespect. I'm laughing at people. I was like, if y'all think LeBron is showing the same type of focus and intensity and, like, investment in the team like he was showing last year, you're lying to yourself. And the fact that I was pointing that out last year, a lot of people on Lakers Twitter don't really mess with me no more. And it's like, it's whatever. But I'm going to call a spade a spade. And that's a completely night and day player. That's why he tweeting all that, oh, Wash King, I thought I was Wash. Yeah, dude, you was playing like you didn't care last year, especially on defense.
No. You know, 100%. I mean, 100%. It's you know, it's cool watching how that develops, you know, the start of the year, because Brian got a, you know, he got a spicy tweet, you know, himself ready for every single game with a bunch of hashtags. But that's a different story. I mean, you know, we're here mainly talking Brandon Ingram because you are. I mean, I want you to know. I don't know if anyone's told you this, but you are the Shannon Sharp of Brandon Ingram support. Like it's not even close. It's not even close. So before we get into B.I. versus Drew, and you know, we talk about the best player on the team and Chris Middleton and all this, let's go with just a breakdown of B.I. Like, you know, what do you think is, you know, the biggest, what have you seen him improve on this year versus, you know, his first few years in the league? Go ahead.
So this game wise, it was like, I remember his first couple of years. I remember like this article was about, I was nervous. I wasn't a Brandon. Like when Lakers think the number one, they couldn't get Ben Simmons. I was like, man, trade this pick, forget it, because I wasn't sold on him in college. But and then when he got there, it's like the Lakers, they have to teach him off which foot to jump off of and just really basic things for a professional basketball player, like real remedial things they would have to teach him. But when I saw that the year one, the year two jump, when he went from 9 points a game to 16, I was like, okay, he has something. And then next year, the third year, he goes to 18 with LeBron. Then when I became fully so, like, this kid, guys, has it, like, superstar potential, is when all that noise started with the trade rumors and, you know, he's in a locker room with a guy who doesn't necessarily, or, like, no disrespect to LeBron, but he does, you know, he owns Clutch Sports and Clutch is AD's client. Like, everybody knows what's going on, essentially, right? They in the arena screaming, LeBron's going to trade you, LeBron's going to trade you. And the focus he showed after that, I'm talking about the Lakers are still fighting for a playoff spot. They're 1-2 games out when LeBron comes back, right? Mm-hmm. And he's putting up, you know, 36 versus Philly, close L, Milwaukee, like season on the line. He goes to 32, goes, you know, bar for bar with Greek Freak. He had a game with KD where they both dropped 30 on each other. If I see stuff like that, I'm like, okay, he's got it. And then I just, his maturity through all the noise, I think, it's something intangible that superstars have in the league. They can block out whatever's going on and stay focused on the task at hand. And, you know, other Laker players do show so much. Like, Kuzma's game kind of went in the tank. Hart was hurt, so he was whatever. Alonzo was hurt. And I feel like he was the only young player that really was like, okay, y'all want to trade me? I'm going to show y'all. It's like, that's what I was looking for. I think out of all the Lakers young guys, he showed it. I think he just got something intangible. And then, like, also, what Luke Walton would do, you know, was put him at point because Lakers had all the point guards hurt at one point. That's really helped his ball handling down a lot. So, like, you can see he handles the ball like a combo guard, being, you know, 6'7", 6'8", with a 7'3 wingspan. That's also what separates him from guys like, you know, Tatum and other wings he's compared to, because he can actually handle the ball. So that's why I think he has a notch above those guys at this point in his career. So that's when I became a fan of him. The tangibles mixed with the game and then the shooting, he never scored from RP levels, just the last step. Like, he's completely unlocked now. But the last step before we can call him a superstar is some of that's got to start translating into victory before we start giving him that, you know, okay, you a top 15, top 20, top 25 player. That goes from W's on the board.
No, I mean, 100%. I mean, he's going to have to take that next step in regards to, you know, to leadership. And I mean, you know, to, you know, in fairness, in fairness, when he was traded, you know, here he wasn't. Nobody was looking at BI to be a, you know, to be a leader. That was supposed to come from.
I know. I saw the articles and what everybody was saying. I know. Everybody was, JJ Redick, Favors, Lonzo and Truth, defensive backcourt. I saw all the articles. He was an afterthought. I'm like,
absolutely. I mean, he was, he was a wild card of sorts because, listen, man, like I was at Media Day. And I've seen B.I. talk. I mean, he's a very, very, very reserved dude who starts to who will open up eventually, but he only does it on his terms. I mean, even on the basketball floor, very, very even keel. No matter what happens, good or bad, you're not gonna see much of a change of of emotion from him. Which is, I think it's very endearing, right? Because it's the sign of a really good poker player, Outside of that, outside of someone pissing him off and him having to go fight for his teammates, he really doesn't show any different, too many other faces. It's pretty much that same regular composure demeanor. Yeah, okay, I'm with that. I'm with that. You called him. Well, see, we gonna have to really get into this, man, because I saw you call him. And correct me if I'm wrong. Did you say young T-Mac? I mean, are we talking more than just like demeanor, or are we talking like this guy?
He's not the explosive athlete T-Mac was. I'm talking about just the legend demeanor. You might be mistaken for he doesn't care, or a lot of people make a joke like he look like he high all the time. But it's like I think he's just like. That's how he's even keel. And then you see the score, man. Who can really stop from getting to a spot? Like, even yesterday, he got an off night, but he got every look he wanted, did he not? Like, he got all the shots he wanted. He just wasn't making them last night. So, like, that level where...
What's happening, Pelicans fans? Chris Conner here from the Bird Rights. And support for Armchair Media comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. I can remember once as a naive adolescent trying to manscape, and let's just say scissors and a painful experience were both involved. That's why Manscaped has redesigned their electric trimmer, and their Lawnmower 2.0 has skin-safe technology so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. Manscaping accidents like mine are finally a thing of the past. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your balls. That's just nasty. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest parts of your body? Always use the right tools for the job. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use that code ARMCHAIR. Your balls will thank you.
That's what's most I think intriguing and fun about B.I. is that, like you said, nobody's going to stop him from getting to his spot. Like everything that he's looking to do, like nothing's forced, it's all under control, nothing wild. And to be 21, that's rare.
He turned 22 right before the season started.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So to be 22, that's rare. I mean, people don't get that in their game until they're 25, 26, 27. I mean, I'd argue that, he had that type of confidence in his game, even going to, two years prior to now, when Luke started having him in those point guard roles when everybody was hurt and everybody was out, and he realized, dude, I'm 6'8", I'm 7", I got, like, I can do this, man. I can get to wherever I want on this floor, and it's really not much that anybody can do to stop it.
The last thing is, like, as a coach, I appreciate how you like guys who just the hard hat type guys. Like, I don't need to post everything on social media how I'm in the gym or everything. He's more like a he's literally in it for the love of the game. Like, there's no, like, he's here to try to win and get better as a player. There's no ulterior motives to what he's doing as a basketball player. You guys just appreciate that. That's very rare these days. And I just say that.
I don't think he even like updates his Twitter on the regular, in all honesty. I mean, outside of him putting out that that Snapchat of being, you know, of being happy around the time he got traded, you know, of that smirk. I mean, I haven't seen B.I. really. Yeah. I mean, I don't have an Instagram to really, you know, to follow him on. But I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't, if he's not putting much on there either. So I mean, you know, I think the biggest thing about him coming to New Orleans is that a lot of it was surrounded by mystery. You know,
I'll give you that.
You know, a lot of it was surrounded by mystery, and it was either gonna go one or two ways. But my thought process from day one was like, dude, if you've been a Pelicans / Hornets fan as long as me, you know that you haven't had a guy at the small forward position that can do anything like this anywhere close to him regarding his ability since Jamal Mashburn. What are you complaining about?
I saw that.
Why do you want to trade him for Joe Harris and Jared Allen? Why do you want to do that? How does that help at all? It makes zero sense. So B.I. versus Drew. I mean, this really why we here.
First off, I want to apologize because I was not trying to pit teammates against each other. Because if you watch the tweet, it says, this is no disrespect to Drew or anybody else. It's just how high I am on number 14. Remember, I remember what I put out there. And then just the replies and the quote tweets was just nasty. Even from your boy, and I rock, and Mason is my dude. But Mason, one of my favorite follows since I've been like watching the Pelicans. Even Mason was like, he's like, that's just a horrible take. I'm like, dude. I'm like, I know what I see and I know what's coming. No disrespect. It's just hard. If you watch, even though like Steph Curry's probably the best tiny guard in the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at him, even in high leverage situations, it's hard for those guys to get shots off because they're so tiny. The game is built around the way it is right now. You need like strong two-way wing play. Like wing players when we like obviously Ingram's not on Kawhi and LeBron's level, but you know, those type of guys and Durant when he's healthy, those type of wing players, that's who really shifts destinies of teams right now, those type of wing players. I think you got somebody that's like, I don't want to say like he'll be Durant, Kawhi, LeBron level, but I think Ingram at least can be like a little higher than at his prime than Paul George level, you know what I'm saying, where he can lead a team, like maybe not to a championship, but he can be like I'm the go-to guy and we're a contender, maybe one or two pieces away. And that's why I say I think he's the best player. That's what the game is. Drew's in his 11th year. You know, he's only 6'3". You know, there's a limitation of what he can do as far as the head of a snake. You know what I'm saying? That's all I was saying. I wasn't trying to be disrespectful, but he's an excellent two-way guard. You know, defense hasn't shown much this year for anybody, so I'm not holding that against him personally. Nobody's defending. You know, this offense has been underwhelming to say the least. He started out the game slow, but everybody keeps telling me that's a thing for him. But like I said, wouldn't have disrespect to Drew Holiday. It's just how high I am on Brandon. He's only 22. Drew's in the 11th year, about to turn 30. I'm just saying, man.
Well, I mean, you know, so if you're asking right now through eight games, who's been the best player? I mean, it's been Brandon Ingram. You know what I mean? And I mean, listen, man, I break it down just simply like this. I mean, last season, and coming into the year, I mean, it's a lot of it is based off of, you know, the confidence in Drew is based off of what he's done basically the past two seasons. That's really what it comes down to since he started playing more.
That was what explained to me. So I feel you on that. Go ahead.
Off the ball, him playing that two guard to which he unlocked a different part of his game, especially offensively, that the world hadn't really seen. And I mean, hell, last year, man, I mean, in the past 5 years, there have been only four other players to finish with the numbers that he put up, which was at that 20 point per game, seven assists and right at five rebounds. And four of those guys, well, three of those guys, MVPs, and Russell Westbrook, James Harden, LeBron James. And the fourth is, you know, Nikolai Jokic. So, and that's going back 5 years. So Drew got everybody excited because, you know, you only wonder that, you know, now with him having his own team and him continuing to work as hard as he does, is there another level of him or another step for him to make? You know, and my thought process with everything that that man has been through, if there was a person that could persevere through it, even at the stage where he's at, right, to where it would be a late ascendance to, you know, being somewhat elite as an offensive basketball player, I thought it would be him. And it hasn't translated. Mm. You know, I mean that's just, so far it has not worked. And I know one of the things you talked about is his size. I mean, unless, you know, let's keep it a buck. He has to work a lot harder for a bucket. He has to work a lot harder to get his shot than, say, B.I. does. Everything B.I. does is slow. It's in the pocket. And it can be that way. When you're that height, when you have that wingspan, when you have those skills, I mean, if we're talking offensively, there's nothing that Drew Holiday, I think, at this point in his career really does better than Brandon. I think he's a better passer. But you know, I mean, if you go from top to bottom offensively, I mean, I don't think it's close right now with the improvements that, you know, the BI made. And in all honesty, when you have those skills BI has, it shouldn't be close. But defensively is what we mean.
Okay.
That's where shit hits the fan. And when I'm like, all right, well, as an individual, like you said, none of them are playing well right now defensively. I mean, for the most part, I saw you tweet out yesterday about B.I. being late on a rotation, right? You can be objective with your points, right?
Right.
But individually, I don't think Brandon Ingram and Drew are close. So to me, it's like, all right, well, if I think that at worst, they're right next to each other. And then you got to see B.I. continue to do it throughout a season, you know, for 60, 70, 80 games. That's where I was at, and I think that's where a lot of people were looking at it. You know what I'm saying? It was a perfect time to pick on Drew. Yeah. He's averaging 14 points a game. You know what I mean?
Well, my thing is, it was like, I'm watching some of these games. Even if you get average Drew Holiday performance, they have two or three more wins. Like, you know, the Dallas – did he play the Dallas game or he did not play that game? He missed the Rockets game.
Yeah. He got hurt at the third quarter of the Dallas game. He finished that, then he missed.
Yeah, because, like, you know, you're up 18 on Dallas, right?
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have a great game when he does play. You know, the Raptors game, you up 14 early, I think.
Yeah.
You just don't have a consistent veteran protection. I think, like, if you just could even get normal Drew Holiday, like 20, you know, 8 assists, you know, few rebounds, you know, stellar defense. I think they have a few more wins. Like, and I'm like, I don't mean to put that all on one guy, but, you know, franchise players, that's what they do, right? Exactly. So I'm saying, so it's like, I'm thinking that in terms of that, like, man, if Drew just give anything close to what he's accustomed to, this team has a few more wins. And looking at it again, he's like, just, like I said, the main problem is defense. I don't think the Pelicans, like, if you watch it's like going in the season, even me, I was like, wow, okay, I think this team's going to be really good defensively, but they're going to struggle to score. It's been complete opposite.
Yep.
Team can fill it up because, you know, Ingram's come along offensively. Even Zoe's shooting 38% from three, which is like, wow. Okay, and he's getting up and he's shooting at a high line. So it's like, okay, but the shooting's there.
Wait. Let's talk about you saying that Zoe is 100% committed to being Ray Allen.
Yeah, man, I'm sitting there like, I think that's not his game. My thing is, like, he should be, and I understand that it's not going to be the case because Drew's there, but I thought with the pace that Alvin wants to play in Zoe's game, he'd be more so that Jason Kidd in New Jersey, where get it to me, sprint the lanes, I'm going to find you. And it just hasn't been that way. In the half court, this was the issue with the Lakers. He won't attack hard off pick and rolls because he's scared of going to the free throw line. He won't finish with the same stats because, you know, he's a below 50% free throw shooter for his career. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, it's in his head. He won't turn the corner. He won't attack. Because if you watch him finish sometimes, like, when nobody's there, he get up.
Yep.
But if you notice he's going to get fouled and have to knock some free throws down, I think that's what's in his head. And I think that's what's, like, dropping his ceiling a little bit as a point guard. Because you got to be able to, you know, break down defenses, right? Draw help, find shooters, like, or be able to finish in traffic. You know what I'm saying? But you're not going to turn the corner on pick and roll or attack the basket. Not really a point guard, but so is. It's kind of where he has a weird game. That's what could be. It's very unorthodox how he helps the team out.
It is, right? Because, I mean, it's very inconsistent. You know what I mean? One game, you know, you'll watch Zoe attack three or four times. You're like, damn, okay, if he does this, you know, and then the next game, you know, he pulls out a floater, and I haven't seen him shoot one floater since, and I haven't seen him shoot one floater before. I'm like, what? Like, you had this in the bag the whole time? You know, the next game when contact is close to him, you know, he'll try to be crafty with a finish and get to the line. I'll say, okay, all right. And then the next game, he'll drive and the lane will be there and he'll pass out and reset the offense. Like, it's like, Zo, what are you doing, bro? Like it's yours, man. And his first step is too quick for him to not.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I feel you there. So let's go through a few tweets here. I think it's
okay. Here we go.
Right? Brandon Ingram destination, because we only got 9 minutes. So we going through this. Brandon Ingram destination rankings. 1, Atlanta Hawks. 2, Golden State Warriors. 3, Memphis Grizzlies. 56, Chinese Basketball League. 78, Siberia. And then we have all the way at the end, the New Orleans Pelicans. And I believe this is 89,997. at least they made the list. You know, we had a conversation about this Atlanta Hawks thing. First of all, let me get this out of your head right now. There is no we out of here, okay? This man is a restricted free agent. There will be no Joe Johnson thing happening here. He ain't going nowhere, okay? Your frustrations with Alvin and Drew, we share them all. But at the end of his next contract, they won't be here. They won't be here. Am I right?
I think I'm not really frustrated with Drew. I understand that NBA season, 82 games, guys are going to ebb and flow. Drew is going to play better. That I have no doubt. I think the philosophy of what Alvin's trying to do is not conducive to the personnel that he has right now. Well, and I think that's where the struggles are coming from. You got a whole bunch of young guys. You ask them to play at a breakneck pace, and it's going so fast. And you see defensively, it's like they don't know, have any idea what to do. And my thing is, you got to play Jackson Hayes at this point. Did you see when he got in the game? At least it's not a layup drill when he's in there. He was trying to – because he had like 4 points and 5 rebounds, but the effect he had on the game, when somebody's driving and I'm gonna be a presence right now and trying to deter you, that changed the whole game yesterday. Like, Favors and Okafor just don't do that. They don't give the same athleticism that he has. Like, you gotta let him play just off his energy and let hopefully the basketball instincts pick up with more experience. And you 1-7 anyway, the only way to go is up. He should be playing 25, 30 minutes a game off top. I know it's gonna upset Favors and Okafor, but man, dude, show them the numbers out. I don't even have everything on defense. Everything. I got to change something.
If you're going to run, it's no secret. Jackson fits. And I mean, and we'll see. Favors looked the best that he's looked athletically in reference to moving around after, like, with that knee injury that I've seen him since he's been here.
The thing is, though, with Okafor and Favors, the heavy dose of pick and roll, they can't head. They're plotting centers.
They can't head to get back.
Like, Hayes has the foot speed just laterally, even like on some wings, he can make it tough. Even on some guards, like a hard head, he can sprint back in time just laterally. He's just, you know, he can move better. That's the type of center you want now. Like, see the Jared, like, Hayes reminds me a lot of Jared Allen. You know what I'm saying? I'm a big active guy. Even with the Nets, Allen's being like the DeAndre Starting, but they're better when Allen's on the floor.
100. I mean, and I won't take that away, but I will counterattack that by saying, I mean, there's negatives with Jackson as well. I mean, there's breakdowns. I know you know, but you know, there's breakdowns. Absolutely. I mean, he also weighs maybe a little bit more than me. So I mean, speaking of Jared Allen moved him the hell out the way. He can't box out efficiently enough, even when he tries, because he doesn't have the lower body strength, you know, the upper body strength just yet. You know, so but when you talk about, you know, the overall scheme when they're trying to run, it's no secret. Jackson's the guy that you want, especially if you're switching as often as they are, you know, and you got to collapse attacking.
That's why I said that's
guards.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you have to, if you're gonna play Okafor and it favors, which is fine. They're veterans. They have a little more, like, polish, especially offensively. Jacksonville is somebody's going to catch lives and putbacks, you know?
Yeah.
I understand that. But if you're going to play them, you can't switch.
No,
you gotta,
I mean,
go in practice and work on. We gotta hedge and recover. We gotta have weak side rotation. We can't switch. I know that's the easy route up, but if you have the personnel for it, you gotta go old school. Hey, we need you to hedge. You gotta sprint back. We got the weak side taking the roll guy. We gotta fire out when they kick it out. It's gotta be like a real old school approach on defense. You're gonna play those plotting centers.
Right.
You can't switch every day with Okafor. It's too much penetration giving up.
I'm with you.
Breaking down.
And that's on the coaching staff to make certain adjustments and see these things if they're going to continue to run this fast ass pace. I mean, it's only right. Offensively, they get into these ruts and they do it every game to where they shoot four or five straight threes in a row. They brick all of them, and the team gets back in transition on the other side. They can't get back on defense, and they're giving up fast break points.
I believe
they give up the most fast break points in basketball, and that's one of the reasons. Now, Chris Middleton. Now, let me ask you something. When Zion comes back, okay, bear with me. When Zion comes back, Zion, how much you think Zion's averaging a game? Just throw out a number.
I'm going to give I'm going to say 16, 17 a game.
16, 17 a game. All right. So when Zion comes back, and let's assume Drew is still here and they haven't traded him for washing machine. When Zion returns, how much do you think Brandon Ingram is averaging per game if he's still playing at this level?
Well, the thing is, I'm going to say Ingram's usage is only 28%. If you look at this season, it's only 28%, which is like a little below what a guy who's a leading scorer does. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he's still going to get his FGAs. And with the pace they run, he's still going to get the field goal attempts.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
So if he stays, like, even if he drops, like, from, say, 50, shooting 53% now, if he drops to, say, you know, he shot 51 last year, if he stays at 51% last year from the field, and keeps that around 40, like he's at 49% three, he drops to 42% from three. Maybe he's averaging 23, 24, opposed to 26, 27 he's averaging right now. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I think the averages aren't going to drop that much because the pace they play is not going to. But Zion is going to pick up some, like, he'll do, like, those touches Okafor gets. He'll be much more efficient with those, like, stuff like that. So I think Ingram won't change much.
Okay. All right, Pelicans fans, we are with Jason Maples. Wrapping up this rapid Brandon Ingram / Drew Holiday / Pelicans pity party here. So, Jason, you were going into telling us, I mean, where you think B.I. fits at best once Zion returns and the Pelicans hopefully have a healthier roster by then. You don't mind, you know, go ahead and expound upon that a little bit more.
I was just saying, like, it shouldn't change much. You know, he's the best scorer on the team. He should continue to get the same touches. I think Zion would just eat into whatever, you know, Okafor was getting, or Melly has been a disappointment thus far, to say the least. I think he'll just, the Zion will thrive off the attention that Ingram, they'll help each other out. Because you got to worry about Zion going to the bucket, the way Ingram's shooting it, you got to respect him. And you can't help too much off Zion because he's crashing in or cutting in off whatever Ingram's doing. So I think they'll help each other. But I think Ingram should still be the go-to guy when Zion gets there, despite what people think.
So do you...
And the Chris Middleton thing, that is so disrespectful. Dude, did you see Middleton? He just, you know what? He's a good player. He just doesn't have the off-the-dribble chops that Brandon has. That's why he's a three and, like, he's a slightly above a 3-and-D guy.
I will never compare the games of them. I won't do that. But my thought process from day one was, okay, if Zion's giving you 17, 18 points a game, he's giving you close to 20. Okay, and Drew picks up his game, he's not averaging a pedestrian, you know, 14 or 15. If these guys are healthy, my thought process was B.I. is going to average somewhere. Now, I probably was a little bit mean saying anything under 20 at this point with the way he's playing and the shot volume that he has. That was probably wrong because I mean, at this point, if he finishes at anything under 20, it's been he's failed all the way to hell up, and it's a disappointment of sorts. But, you know, I think somewhere between 20 to 24, I mean, my thought process, he would fit there in reference to a, you know, to a stat line. Chris Middleton's best year, I think he averaged right around close to 22 points a game, 5 and 5 somewhere. That was my thought process. Now maybe okay. You know, so it's not. I would never compare the games. No, they're nothing alike when it comes to. Yeah, I mean, you know, Chris comes off of way more screens than Brandon, and does not have the ability off the rip, off the dribble that BI does to create from either hand, either side. But you know, he is a really good basketball player. So I didn't mean to offend anybody with that. You know, my thought process and what I've been trying to put together is how is B.I. going to look in this offense when everybody comes back? I'm just thinking from a stat line perspective, like what's the optimum, what's the best B.I. stat line that's going to give you a win, you know, a part of a winning basketball team. That was my thought process. Is it right. A Paul George type thing, you know, when
yeah. you know, Paul you, was you, trying you to. May be right. And you may be right where he gets to, maybe has less to do offensively and he picks up his effort on defense, you know, and that makes the team better. So you might be right with some of that. So it might be something to that.
I just think because I want B.I. to be a winner.
Yeah. I think where Ingram will show off most is in the playoffs, where all your plays are scouted. You need a guy who can just kind of break scripts and get you a good look or a bucket. I think that's where he's going to shine, and that's why I want him to like come on, get to the playoffs, so you can show the world that you here.
I mean, everybody wants this. Wants the San Antonio ass system, man. It just don't work for everybody, man. Like you know, and even they have had guys that could get their own bucket, you know, over the past 20 years. You know, you need things break down. I mean, and you see it all the time when they get into these ruts offensively, and you know, it's happened more than a handful of times. They go to Brandon. He, you know, does either a Euro step or you know, it's a turnaround fadeaway. One way or another, he's the one. He's the run stopper. You know, he gets to the free throw.
Right.
Just based off of his natural ability to be able to get his own shot. I mean, those things are huge, man, to slow down a team's momentum, to put a team away. Like you said, when things will break down, you won't be able always to run, you know, to run your offense and, you know, in flow. You know, you're going to need an ugly bucket. And he's a guy that can do that. They don't grow on trees. And New Orleans fans know that more than anybody because you have not seen a wing. You have not seen a wing that could create in a very, very, very long time. You know, so I'm with you there, man. Yeah, man. Listen, it was a pleasure, man. You know, we went over on time a little bit because you know, that's what happens. You know, when you talk basketball, people that kind of know it a little bit. Is there anything right. Anything you wanna shout out, man? Anything you got cooking up? Anything that people need to know? You know what I mean?
Nah, man, just like I said, man, I alluded to you, it's all love with the basketball talk, man. I'm here to kill nobody, attack people personally, just here to talk basketball, man. No, nothing, not all the extras, man. So if y'all taking all this stuff personally, you know, God bless you.
For sure, man. Well, it was a pleasure. For sure, everybody, please check us out on Apple Podcasts and any place that you can find the Bird Calls at. Preston, Kevin, David, and Ali will be sure to be giving you as much basketball content as they can, in the bad and in the good. This is Chris Conner once again, and we out.
Thank you for listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today.